Welcome to Film Roast.
Film Roast, Film Roast, it's Film Roast, and we are your hosts. Hi, this is Film Roast, the show where two overcaffeinated and underqualified friends talk about movies, even though we shouldn't.
I'm Hannah. I'm Julia.
And we are here, y'all. We're back in your life. It's been a great week because Julia and I both were on podcasts, which is really cool.
We were. Yes.
Julia was on, well, why don't you talk about what you talked about?
Yeah. I'll do it. Don't you worry. Okay. So okay. I was on, actually, technically I wasn't on, so it doesn't really count. But I was invited to do a teensy little bit on Moms and Murder podcast, which
yeah,
I was so stoked about because I love true crime so much. And if Hannah and I weren't talking about movies, I would for sure only be talking about true crime. So yeah, so I did a teeny little segment on one of my favorite true crime stories, which is that of Elisa Lam. And if you guys don't know what that is, go look it up because it's super, super freaky. So yeah, okay. I was on Moms and Murder podcast, and you guys should check that out.
All good things. Moms and Murder is an amazing show, and they are hilarious. So go check them out, Melissa and Mandy. Speaking of amazing ladies, I was also on a podcast. I was on the Tight Ends podcast, and last night Vanda had me as a guest, and it was super fun. And we talked about sports, and we talked about fantasy football, and we reviewed a football movie, and so that was all fun and amazing. So if you want to check that out, you can check out Tight Ends podcast. And Tight Ends and Moms and Murder and Film Roast are all proud members of Lady Pod Squad, and there are some amazing shows by women in there. And if you want to find them, just search the hashtag on Twitter, Lady Pod Squad. Okay, I'm done plugging things.
That's great. You were doing great. I'm going to plug our merch store. Is that cool?
Yes, please.
We decided a couple weeks ago that any merchandise from our merch store on Threadless that is bought through October, through the end of October, we are going to donate a part of the proceeds to the American Red Cross in honor of the Las Vegas shooting. And the reason we can only donate a portion is because a part of those proceeds go back to Threadless, right? They go to the artists.
Yes, correct.
Yes. So we're not being stingy. We are literally just bound to the Threadless rules.
We don't want to do the shipping and the printing ourselves, or else our logo would look like a giant trash monster, and nobody wants to wear a trash monster.
We don't want you guys to advertise us looking like a trash monster.
Exactly. After Janelle, our friend, worked tirelessly on our logo and it looks super cool, we couldn't do that to her. So go to our merch shop, filmroastshow.threadless.com, and buy some stuff. Okay.
Stuff.
We have kind of a theme tonight because we're talking bouts, spooky things. And you guys, spooky. It's almost Halloween.
This is Halloween. This is Halloween.
Ew.
Halloween. 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 Halloween.
Stop. No. Skip.
Sorry.
That song came on my Spotify today and I was like, veto.
Veto. Hate.
But in the thread of spooky things, Julia and I have never seen The Exorcist in full.
Never.
And so we decided it would be a great time to test out live streaming for the first time whilst we watched the 1973 classic The Exorcist. Okay, so y'all can look out for that on the 29th of October.
That's right. Yes. So you can watch Hannah and I interact with each other and interact with our deepest fears while watching The Exorcist. And this is all good fun.
Of those.
This is for Exorcism this is for Halloween. Stuff. We want to properly celebrate Halloween, so we're going to do that by watching a very probably what is known as the most disturbing, maybe not disturbing, but like scariest horror movie
yes,
ever.
Totally. And on that note, I'm going to plug one more podcast because I'm obsessed with it. It is called Inside the Exorcist. And yeah. It is amazing. And it's terrifying. I literally couldn't sleep like last week because it scared the crap out of me. But it is the story behind the inspiration for the film The Exorcist. So what really, quote unquote, happened, and then the actual creation of the film The Exorcist. So it's really interesting if you're a movie buff or if you just like spooky things. And they also did a series called Inside Psycho, which is about the film Psycho. And so it is amazing. Check it out. And I'm done with the plugs.
Thank God. Just kidding. You did a great job.
Thanks.
Thanks.
Okay.
Hannah, well, what time is Julia, it now?
We're done with the plugs, which means it's time for a movie.
Movie news. Wow.
Killed it.
Okay.
Killed it, you guys.
My first movie news should be prefaced with, I don't give a crap about Star Wars, but I think that this is interesting. So, Star Wars is coming out with, you know, everybody's been, oh, Star Wars, they're coming out with a Han Solo origin story. It's going to be the greatest movie of all time. And it's whatever to me. But here are two interesting things that have happened around this. The first is that they announced, I believe it was yesterday, that this movie finally has a title. And so the official Star Wars Han Solo spinoff movie is called Solo, A Star Wars Story. Okay? Here is the other fun thing about this. This movie was directed by Ron Howard, and I had no idea until yesterday when I read about this other piece of movie news. So that actually kind of makes me more excited about it because I have a lot of faith in Ron Howard because, you know, he directed such classics as The Grinch. So
The Grinch. My 3-year-old niece loves The Grinch, and not just as a holiday movie. Like, she will watch
it. Like, in general?
I'll just be like, what do you want to watch? Tangled? And she'll be like, Grinch! And I'm like, what? Fine. And it's the Jim Carrey version, you guys. It's not the, like, great animated cartoon that we know and love. It's Jim Carrey being the Grinch.
I feel like as a child, that movie would kind of be scary to me. Because Jim Carrey's kind of scary as the Grinch.
He's scary as Jim Carrey. I mean, like, he's just kind of a scary person.
That's true. That's very true.
Whatever, Everly. Do what you love.
You be you, sister.
You be you, sister. Tim is very unhappy with the Star Wars name. He thinks it's super lame. And I was like, well, why don't you come up with a name? Like, what would you call it? And he's like, He was like smuggling something. And I'm like, okay, like what? What are you going to call it? And he's like, I don't know. I'm like, this is the worst. So he tried.
Tim, no. Just stop.
Right. Like,
enough ideas from you.
Yeah.
Okay. Moving on.
Enough ideas from you. Get out of here. Okay. So other movie news is, the Justice League is on its way, you guys. There's no stopping it. This movie is happening. We can't say no.
Whether we wanted to or not.
Whether we wanted to or not. Pros, Jason Momoa, shirtless. Cons, the rest. So, pro, Wonder Woman.
Hello.
Everything else. Anyway, they came out with a new poster, and it's total garbage, you guys. It seriously looks like a first year graphic design student, which made this, okay? And Phil Rude, who is a part of our Film Roast fan club, actually made that comment. And I have to agree, it just looks bad.
I mean, I can see that, but tell me what you hate about this specifically.
Okay, here's what I hate.
Rant.
Hate.
Rant. You made it bigger. You just made it bigger on our notes.
I'm making it huge so I can comment. Okay. I hate that they like thought it was really clever to put all the superheroes' logos in the tagline. Like, that just like is something I would do in third grade and be like, look how clever I am. No, I hate it. Yeah. I don't like the Flash at the, like, forefront. Like, why do you deserve to be on the front? Excuse me. Wonder Woman's hair is weird.
Why? What's weird about it? I'm looking at it.
I don't know. It just doesn't look like it did in the film, and I'm concerned for her.
Really? Okay, I'm going to look up a picture of her in the original film.
Okay. Okay. And Batman, I don't think I've ever seen Batman run.
Wow, I'd really have to think about that.
I'm like, aside from like maybe like getting a good jump to run off a building or something, I've never seen Batman run before in my life. But I could be wrong, okay? All these people are going to be like, no, he ran in episode 753. And I'm going to be like, okay, sorry. But he just looks like Batfleck looks like he's ready to like punch somebody and run somewhere, and I don't like it.
I agree with you. This poster is weird. But I also, in general, have beef with the Justice League because I think Ben Affleck, I still think Ben Affleck was like the weirdest choice of all time for Batman.
Right.
Like, whoops. Totally. And I also think that his name, I'm pretty sure his name is Ezra Miller. Am I correct in this? Okay. Ezra Miller as the Flash. This seems odd to me. And I don't know anything about the Flash. So people who have read the comic, like the comics might be like, Ezra Miller is the best because the Flash is like awkward.
Clearly the top choice.
Ezra Miller, first of all, is... kind of just seems like this strange, nerdy, weak man. Not that that's bad. Yeah. Like, you don't have to be buff. That's totally fine. But it just seems such, like such an odd choice because he's always played these super kind of outsider, nerdy characters. And not in like a secretly hot way. In like, Ezra Miller is a genuinely strange and nerdy person. This to me is if they decided to cast Paul Dano as the Flash, it would be like, what are you doing?
Yeah, totally. Totally.
So I just don't.
Ezra Miller is like somewhat creepy. Like he's creepy in everything I can think of.
I mean, we all saw him in Fantastic Beasts where he had that horrifying bowl haircut, right?
Right.
So I don't know. Is he going to be able to make the transition? No, I don't
think
so.
And he was the creepy intern in Trainwreck who Amy Schumer like...
Oh my gosh, that's right.
almost sleeps with.
And he's like secretly 16 or something like that.
Yes. Such
that's
a,
amazing. Okay,
gross.
Spoiler.
So anyway... all good things. And then our last bit of movie news, which isn't really movie news, it's more TV news, but the last trailer for Stranger Things came out, and Stranger Things season 2 is premiering October 27th, you guys. So next Friday, we're going to get season 2. And we got so much 11 in this trailer that it makes me so happy.
So happy. It's going to be amazing.
I love Stranger 11. Things. She's the best.
I just love Stranger Things. We watched the first season, and the whole time I was just, like, to Cliff, I was like, oh my god, this show is just so good. This is, what a great piece of television. This is amazing. Wow. Oh my gosh. And poor Cliff was probably like, I've seen it.
Yeah.
No, right. You don't understand. So I'm pretty excited.
Definitely need to do a rewatch. My sister, Julie, went as the mom, went as a... what is her name? Winona Ryder's character last year for Halloween, and she had like the sweater and like a telephone and just like looked really sad the whole time, and it was fantastic.
That's awesome.
And that's the movie news.
Oh, yeah. You mixed it up.
Soul. Yeah, that's you soul made it for sultry. You guys. You're welcome.
That's amazing.
Well, as we said, this is a Halloween spooky episode.
Couldn't even get through it.
I couldn't. That was bad. Okay. So. So. This episode, we decided to do our favorite horror films from the last 5 years. So that gives us a lot of options because honestly, there have been some really good horror films in the last 5 years.
Truth. Yes.
Truth.
Truth.
And so many options. We both wrote down like 20 honorable mentions.
Whoops.
So Julia, aside from this list that we're going to be sharing, what are some of your favorite horror films that have come out maybe before this or things that didn't make your list?
Yeah. Well, some of my favorite horror movies of all time. I love The Blair Witch Project so much.
Yes, you do.
Obviously, The Shining is a classic. The Sixth Sense. Whoa. Let me try that one again.
The Sixth Sense
was my favorite.
I see dead people. Bruce Willis.
The Sixth Sense is one of my favorite movies of all time.
Okay.
And then I also wrote down The Orphan, and you made a little comment that said, in all caps, 4 exclamation points, she is the worst.
She's the worst. Like, the movie's great. I just mean she is terrifying.
She is. She's really, really scary. If you haven't seen Orphan, I mean, it's not like the greatest horror movie of all time, but it's a darn good horror movie. It's very alarming.
It is surprisingly good.
Yes. Yeah. So, I mean, obviously I couldn't include those on my list, but within the last 5 years, there have been some stellar horror movies. So what about you? What are some ones that you couldn't put on this list for the last 5 years?
Yeah. So that was hard. But my favorite horror film is The Strangers.
That's your favorite horror film?
It is. I just, something about it to me is so scary. I think it's the idea that if someone wants to kill you, they can. And like in that film, it's just like, yeah, we decided just to murder you, so we're gonna. And it's horrifying.
Yeah, that's, so I think it's horrifying.
It's great. And then Silence of the Lambs is one of my like all-time favorites, and I think it's a fantastic movie, and I watched it the other day, and every time it's on TV, I'll watch it in a non-creepy way, but
of course,
quid pro quo, right. Dr. Lecter, you gotta do it. I know people would be mad if I didn't, so.
That's like I think that's one of your most iconic film roast things, is being able to do that voice.
I think that's so funny. It's like skills, not great at podcasting, kind of funny, great Jodie Foster.
Only sort of funny, but full Jodie Foster.
Full Jodie Foster. It's the 100% Jodie Foster. On a scale from 1 to Jodie Foster, Jodie Foster.
You are okay. Jodie Foster.
So.
Anyway. Well, let's dive into this then.
I would love to. I think I want to hear from you first.
I love Halloween. So getting to talk about scary movies around Halloween just really speaks to my soul.
Mm-hmm.
Again, in a totally non-creepy way. I just really like Halloween. So I'll start it off with a super recent horror movie that came out last month. Mm. And that is Stephen King's It.
When you're a kid, you think the universe revolves around you. You think that you'll always be protected and cared for. Then, one day, you realize that's not true. Because when you're alone as a kid, the monsters see you as weaker. You don't even know they're getting closer. No! Till it's too late.
Here. Take it.
As far as horror movies go, is this standout in terms of originality or production? No. No, it is not. But what I loved about this remake of It so much, which stars Bill Skarsgård as Pennywise. Now I have a total, this is a side note, but I have a total new fascination with Bill Skarsgård now that he's played Pennywise. So
yes, you do.
I do. I Google him a lot just to see like what he's up to. Not to be weird, just to like see what he's up to. I think what sets It apart is, you know, over the last 5 years, it has really seemed as though mainstream blockbuster horror has kind of found a new life. And so there's been more and more types of these kinds of movies particularly with the Conjuring universe and everything surrounding that. But I think what stands out about it as one of these mainstream blockbusters is that this movie is not focused so much on what's scary, which would be Pennywise, but instead the focus is totally on a story we actually care about, which is the lives of these kids that we're watching. Because so many of these blockbuster horror movies really, really go for the scares. And so the difference with these versus like horror or indie horror is that the story and the characters themselves are lost. But what I feel like it did this incredible job of breaking this mold is that you watch this movie and I found myself caring less about being scared and caring way more about watching this incredible cast of kids that they found. And I really feel that this, if this film had had a different cast, it would not be as watchable or intriguing as it actually is. Because the kids that were cast in this movie, one being Finn Wolfhard, who of course is one of the stars of Stranger Things, they're just so great to watch and to see the dynamics of their relationships. And we talked about this when we did our mini movie moments, but I really feel like it, 2017's It, is so much like Stand By Me, which is another Stephen King story in movie, which is all about these really raw relationships between these group of boys. And I love Stand By Me, and I saw elements of Stand By Me in It, and that's what made it so cool and watchable and so different from all these kind of blockbuster horror movies. So as far as like a standout horror movie, is It like the best of the last 5 years? No, but I think that it has enough going for it and broke the mold enough when it comes to these types of horror movies that it totally deserves to be on the list.
Yeah, completely. Like I think like seeing that movie was an experience, and a lot of the time you don't get that anymore with a horror movie. Like you kind of know what to expect from them, and this was like just fun to be in a theater to watch it. And yes, I think that that's just one of the kind of defining things. It has that it factor.
What?
But it is. It's a great movie, and I've been dying to rewatch it. Like, I've wanted to go so bad and rewatch, but at this point, it's like, oh, there's so many other things I could see, so I'll just wait until it comes out, and then I'll watch it a million times.
Like watching Silence of the Lambs again instead of...
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, jeez. That's scary.
All right. Oh, Lord. Yes, all it was amazing. I'm going to start with one that, to be honest, like, so this movie came out last year, and it's called Don't Breathe.
That's her guy.
Wait, is he blind?
We messed up to rob a blind guy, isn't it?
Just because he's blind don't mean he's insane, bro.
Guys, money's probably in there.
Who's there?
Stay right there.
How many of you are there?
Just me, man. All right, just let me go, please. Okay, I swear to God.
And I remember when Tim and I went to go see it, we were full on expecting it to be terrible. Like, we for sure thought it was going to be one of these movies that were like, this is going to suck, but we'll make fun of it and it'll be fine. And upon hearing the plot, you're going to be like, this still sounds terrible. So there's a girl and she's friends with a couple of guys and they are thieves. And so they find out that this man who is blind has a fortune stashed away in his house. And so the premise of the film is they go in there and try to steal it. And the man is very aware that there are people in his house and all of this stuff starts to happen. And so I don't want to spoil it because it is like still very new. And you know, I want people to experience it. So, but what I will say is that it was the biggest surprise of the year for me. Like, I totally thought it was, I thought this movie would suck. And I was like, this is so good. Like, I couldn't believe how fun it was to watch it in a theater. Mm-hmm. The acting is great. Like, there's great elements of horror in this movie. There's a ton of thrills. So it's really fun to watch in a theater, or like if you, you know, it's one of those good ones to sit and actually watch it, all the way through. And that's kind of rare with a horror movie now. It's like, okay, I kind of expect what's coming and let's just get this over with. But this is really fun to watch. The sound editing in this movie, like, I noticed it more than other horror movies. And I feel like that really helped, like, I guess, egg on the suspense in a way. It was just a really good film. And I recommend it to everybody because it's kind of one of those sleepers that everyone either probably forgot about or was like, meh, that looks bad, I'm not going to see it. And you totally should if you haven't, because it's a good movie.
I think the cool thing about Don't Breathe is you totally go, it's like what you're saying of you totally go into this movie being like, this is going to be another B-horror movie, but
right.
I wanted to go see a scary movie, so I'm shelling out $13. Mm-hmm. I think the cool thing about Don't Breathe is that it's actually so many horror movies rely so much on a gore factor.
Right.
And I totally thought Don't Breathe was going to go that direction because, mm-hmm. you know, it's essentially about these kids trapped in this house with this guy mm-hmm. who wants to kill them.
Right.
And I really appreciated that because I think that so often horror movies rely way too much on being graphic.
Totally. They're
like, oh, you know, being graphic is what's going to scare people, what's going to disturb people. And actually, I've never really found that to be the case.
Yeah, I agree. I think there's ways, the things that scare me are like totally left to my imagination.
Yeah, absolutely. And Don't Breathe, I think, really could have gone that direction, but it mm-hmm. didn't. And I think that's what made it so good and made it so watchable. And yeah, total surprise. Had no idea. I was like, this is going to be fine, but I'm whatever. No, mm-hmm. It's a really, really good movie. Okay, so my next one came out in 2014. And this was a very indie movie at the time. And now it has gained a lot more recognition. And that is It Follows.
I used to daydream about being old enough to go on dates. I had this image of myself holding hands with a really cute guy, driving along some pretty road. It's never about going anywhere, really. It's having some sort of freedom, I guess.
Jay, you awake?
What did you do?
You're not gonna believe me, and I need you to remember what I'm saying.
This thing, it's gonna follow you. Somebody gave it to me. And I passed it to you.
Wherever you are, it's somewhere walking straight for you. All you can do is pass it along to someone else.
It Follows. I've always categorized The Sixth Sense as being probably my favorite horror movie. But after seeing It Follows, this might be at least one of my favorite horror movies. Mm-hmm. It's really, really near the top. And it made the list for me because this is one of the most simple and yet most original horror movies that I maybe have ever seen. The concept of this movie is so simple because all it is essentially about this group of teens, and the main character, she has sex. And then this strange presence starts following her around. And that's literally it. Like, that is kind mm-hmm. of the whole premise of this movie. And the presence makes itself known in the form of, it just looks like different people, essentially. Mm-hmm. And no one else can see it but her. And there's nothing. So really, like, this plot is so simple. There's nothing out of the ordinary about it, but this is probably one of the most unsettling films I have ever seen. Mm-hmm. There's just something so creepy about it because, and I actually read one time that the guy who, I think he wrote and directed this movie, I might be wrong, but I'm pretty sure he did both. He mm-hmm. based this whole movie off a really bad reoccurring dream that he used to have, which was,
oh God.
Yeah, that he was just being followed by something. Like he was somewhere in the world, and somewhere else in the world, something was coming for him. And yeah, and that so speaks to kind of the deepest, scariest nightmares that I've ever had, which are just that something wrong, like something's amiss, something is coming for me.
Right.
And I don't know how to escape it. And so I think It Follows so beautifully took this super simple idea and translated it on screen and made something really scary. And this film stands out also to me just because it was one of the first horror movies that I had ever seen that really capitalized on this theme that now is actually really trendy when it comes to just films in general, which is this nostalgic aspect. So like this whole movie has a vibe of, I don't know, kind of being retro. Would you agree with mm-hmm. that? There's like,
yeah, totally.
Yeah, there's like a lot of retro elements, and you watch this movie and you can never really tell mm-hmm. what year it is exactly, but you right. think it's the present.
Right.
And I just think that's really cool because, again, so often with scary movies, they focus so much on just trying to scare you. And I think It Follows does this amazing job of creating an entire world and giving life to all these other elements of film that most scary movies don't end up doing.
Totally, totally. I remember when I saw this movie for the first time, I didn't like it when we first got out of the theater. And as I kind of let it marinate in my mind, I found, like, it was like, oh my God, I totally get why this is so daunting. Just the idea of somebody always following you is horrifying. Yes. And they put I don't know if it's so much a twist, but the fact that if you basically pawn this following off on somebody else, you know, there's a part in the movie where they're like, that's all we have to do, and it goes away. Well, that following is going to get to that person, and then it's going to start coming back to you. And that concept of you never know when, you never know how, you never know where you are in the process of that thing that's following people, mm-hmm. that is so scary. And yeah, I love the look of this movie. It's super retro. Like, all the marketing was kind of almost like blue neon lights, and so it looked really cool. This would have been on my list if you hadn't put it on there. So I'm super happy you did, because it's such a good movie. And there is this one particular scene that I can't even explain why it scared me so bad. But basically this tall, big guy comes out of the darkness behind the girl. And it's shot in such a way where you just feel disoriented, and it's like the whole concept, it makes you feel like you're literally turning around and seeing somebody standing there the mm-hmm. way it's shot. And so that whole scene is so scary, and it's really good. And so yeah, love this movie, super good.
Yeah,
good stuff.
It's amazing. It's definitely really great. You should see it if you have not seen it before.
Yes, definitely. Highly recommend. And it's on Netflix now, right?
Yeah, I think so. It is.
Okay.
So definitely no one check has that any out. Excuse.
Yeah, no excuses, you guys. Pawn somebody else's if you don't have a Netflix. Okay, so my next one.
Your next one.
I'm going to go with, like, the common one, which I feel like is a given for me because it holds a special place in my heart because it was Tim and I's first date when we watched this movie. So, The Conjuring came out in 2013.
It's November 1st, 1971. I'm sitting here with Carolyn Perrin, who, with her family, has been experiencing supernatural occurrences.
You picking up anything in here, hon?
Something awful happened here, Ed.
What is it?
Whatever Lorraine sees, feels, touches, it takes a toll on her. Little piece each time.
You have a lot of spirits in here, but there's one that I'm most worried about because it is so hateful.
And yes, it was Tim and I's like first time we hung out, and aww, we watched, we drank three bottles of wine.
Oh, geez.
And watched three movies. And so whoa, it wasn't like, it was like the night where, I don't want to say everything happened because it's not like a, I don't mean that in a sexual way. I mean it in like, it was the night where like, we like really decided like, oh, I like you and I like you too. And this yeah, could be something. So, and then we watched The Strangers and The Social Network. Okay, anyway.
Oh, so those are very different.
Yeah, I was like, I need a pick-me-up, but this isn't working because Social Network is super depressing. Okay, anyway. So The Conjuring is a great movie. And it is, I feel like, very polarizing to some people because I think a lot of people are like, eh, I don't really understand why people love it so much. And then the other side is like, I love it. And I love this movie. So this film is, I want to say based on.
Loosely.
Yeah. It's, I mean, WB got actually in big trouble because they were like, this is based on a true story. And now people are coming out and saying, how do you prove that? I don't know. So anyway, Ed and Lorraine Warren are real people. And they're fascinating, and they answer cases of paranormal. And so one of their cases was a family called the Perrins who were experiencing these paranormal forces or demonic forces in their house. And they come in, and they try to figure out what it is. So the film itself is, it's nothing like, wow, this is like groundbreaking or anything, but it's a really good suspenseful movie, and mm-hmm, there's amazing casting in it. So James Wan, who is the director of this, and he did Annabelle Creation, and he did Insidious, and he's kind of made his own little Wanaverse. he hires amazing casts, and he has really good child actors. So yes, like these movies, the Conjuring films have great child actors. Annabelle Creation had great child actors, and all of his stuff is really good. But Patrick Wilson and Vera Farmiga are Ed and Lorraine Warren. And Vera Farmiga, I need a fangirl about her real quick. She's amazing. Like,
yes, she is.
She is just so incredible. She was so good in Bates Motel. If you haven't seen that, you should definitely watch it. But this film is great. And there's this opening scene where the family is moving into the house and they are panning to every single room in the house, but they're also simultaneously showing everybody like what they're doing in each room. And it's just kind of like very funky and very, very cool way to shoot, to like show the viewer the layout of the home. And so I thought that was very creative and I really like that. And there is this horrifying tree that is, oh, yeah, outside of the home. It's like this huge tree, and it's not, it is a plot point of the movie, but it's not a huge one. And I remember when Tim and I first started dating, Tim had the Conjuring tree as his laptop screensaver. And
yeah, why?
And I remember thinking like, oh, this is either like very cool because he's into movies or you're a serial killer. So I, yeah, I wasn't sure. And I don't know still. I mean, maybe it's panned out so far.
You're alive at this point.
Jury's out.
Yeah.
Right. So anyway, that's a great kind of visual for the movie. And then there's this clapping scene, which if you haven't seen it, it's just really epic. Like, it's just super scary and really good. And I love The Conjuring 2 as well. And I know a lot of people were like, it's not as good. And I don't think it's as good, but it is still a good movie. But yeah, Conjuring is great, and it's definitely in my top top five or four or whatever we're doing.
Conjuring was definitely another one that I had very low expectations for. And the first time I watched it, like, I kind of thought The Conjuring was going to be just another Ryan Reynolds Amityville horror, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. which is not a good movie. But The Conjuring, I have found that the more I watch it, the more I appreciate it, because kind of, again, with what I was saying about It, is that mainstream horror has a really, really hard time not being in your face about stuff.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think The Conjuring goes for the scares, but I still think that they're subtle enough to be unsettling, especially everything right. that happens in the basement scenes and with that, yeah, like with that horrible clapping scene. That is the worst. And it speaks to everybody's worst nightmare about getting trapped in your basement and not right. being able to see anything. And yeah, like, and yeah, I'm totally on board too. I think Conjuring 2 wasn't as good as The Conjuring, but I still really like The Conjuring 2 a lot.
Yeah, me too. I just think it's yeah. a fun movie to watch.
It is, because it is totally one of those ones that banks on all the jump scares, but it is
right.
really, it's stressful. Like, I get stressed watching that movie.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. Let me move on to one that is very non-mainstream, but has become very well known for being an incredible horror movie, mm-hmm. and that is The Babadook.
Where'd you get this?
On the shelf.
If it's in a word or it's in a look, you can't get rid of the Babadook. A rumbling sound, then three sharp knocks.
Babadook, duck, duck.
That's when you'll know he's around. You'll see him if you look. Nothing bad's gonna happen, Sam.
Did he think that about my dad before he died?
He sees things as they are, that one.
I promise to protect you if you promise to protect me.
Oh my God. Did he hurt anyone?
The boy has significant behavioral problems.
This monster thing has got to stop, all right? It's just a book. It can't hurt you.
Oh, The Babadook.
Baba.
Oh my gosh, I forgot about that. Okay, The Babadook came out in 2014. The Babadook essentially is, the premise is that there is a single mother and her child. Here's my little asterisk about this child. This child is the worst. He is quite possibly the worst horror movie child I have ever watched.
Yes.
He is so, so annoying. My friend Molly could not even watch the whole movie because she couldn't take how annoying this kid is. She was like, I'm done. I can't watch this. So it's funny because The Babadook has that going against it, but that's also kind of part of the whole plot of the movie.
Right.
Is that this movie is very much about the dissolve of this woman and this single mother as she's trying to raise this really, really hard to be around kid alone, mm-hmm. essentially. Mm-hmm. I wrote this in all caps. The Babadook is scary. And I have found it really difficult to find a horror movie these days that is actually scary. Like, it's really easy to find scary movies that are stressful to watch, but I think that The Babadook is intensely frightening, and that's why I like it mm-hmm. so much, because it's this amazing slow burn of you kind of are getting to know these characters, and you see the mom going crazier and crazier, and mm-hmm. it essentially, the whole movie really takes place within their house, and the house is really big and really dark, and as the movie progresses, you really start to experience the isolation that this mother and her child are experiencing in this home. And any horror movie that doesn't rely on, like, the monster, quote unquote, itself being scary, I think is mm-hmm. always scarier.
Right.
Like, almost always. It's the stuff that's kind of left up to your imagination that makes it scary. And The Babadook plays into that so well because it's not mm-hmm. it's not really about the monster. It's about the, like, the difficulty and the grief and the mental strain that comes with trying to raise a child alone.
Right.
And this movie took that concept and made those, like, really universal, you know, that really universal, really difficult situation and made a monster out of it. And mm-hmm. it's just so good. Every time, I've only seen this movie probably 3 times. Because it's really hard to watch because it's, like, you have to prepare yourself for it because it is scary.
I think it's a really good, like, commentary on motherhood, too. Just, like, how crazy you can get when you're raising a kid and, like, how hard it is. And the thing that scares me the most about this movie, and I'm going to throw in, like, a spoiler kind of, is just, like, you do see the mom going crazier and crazier, but then at the end, you know, there's usually a resolve and you really just see her and her son succumb to this demon. And it's really quite interesting because mm-hmm. you think she's going to, like, find a way to kind of vanquish it. And really, they're just like, okay, let's figure out how to live with it. And it's a great movie. It's really good. Sam, I think, is the kid's name. He is terrible.
Oh, and he's the worst.
Julie and I actually did a full episode on most annoying horror movie characters, and he was on both of our lists.
Oh, for sure.
Definitely go back and check that out if you haven't already. But yeah, great, great movie. Excellent. Okay. So the next one I picked is another kind of, like, sleeper, because whenever I tell people about this movie, I feel like they're either like, oh, I've heard of that, or I have no idea what that is. But not very often do people say, yes, I've seen this. So the movie I picked is Green Room. Green Room. I didn't say that very well. The movie I picked was Green Room.
You're great.
And it came out in 2016.
Okay, I'm with the Ain't Rights from Washington, D.C.
You guys are hard to find. Why no social media presence?
Music is shared live. It's time and aggression. You gotta be there.
Sorry, guys, we gotta clear out. You follow me?
And then it's over. Holy shit.
I told you to follow me. Stop!
No! 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 No!
You can't keep us here. You gotta let us go.
We're not keeping you. You're just staying.
We're so fucking dead, guys.
What do we do? Oh, shit.
This will be over soon, gentlemen.
It's by A24, which has made so many incredible movies over the last 2 years. They did Moonlight, which won Best Picture. They did The Witch. They did It Comes at Night. So they're on a roll. But Green Room is kind of this random thing that was kind of released under everyone's noses. And I caught it on, like, I think it's on Amazon Prime Video. And so I watched it on there. But it's about a punk rock band who goes to play a gig at this super sketchy area. And they play at a neo-Nazi skinhead bar, and that's where the gig is. So, like, right off the bat, you just feel super uncomfortable because they're in this, like, very weird place. And I think I got into that movie right away because Tim is a musician and his band used to always have to go to these weird, like, sketchy areas of Sacramento and play in these kind of divey bars. And it was never that extreme, of course, but, you know, it kind of like brought me back to that. So I was like, oh, I totally get like that feeling of discomfort and not really knowing who these people are. And so more or less, the band goes back into this green room and they witness a murder. And then things start to happen from there. And so I don't want to spoil this movie either because it's new and I know a lot of people haven't seen it. But it is so good. And it is just a really interesting kind of low budget film that really puts you into the movie. And there's a lot of really great young actors in this. So Anton Yelchin, who was in Star Trek, and he actually passed away, I think like 2 years ago now. But he's in it. He's great. Alia Shakwa, who is in Arrested Development as Maybe, and she's in Search Party now, and she was on an episode of Broad City because people think her and Alana Glazer are the same person all the time. And so she's great. But really good cast. There's a really good like lighting in this movie because it's kind of all green coloring. And Patrick Stewart is in this, you guys. Like, plot
Patrick
twist.
He is Stewart.
He's just in this. Like, what are you doing here? It's so random. But it's an amazing film. And it's really fun and it's really intense. Mm-hmm. And it feels like it's a really quick watch. But I just, yeah. I like it and I think it's underappreciated and I want more people to watch it.
Yeah. Absolutely. I watched this movie because you said it was so good, because it does look like one of those. It looks like one of those movies that you would stumble across on Netflix when trying to find a horror movie and be like,
totally,
that looks stupid. I'm not going to watch that. It's actually, it's really good. It's kind of like Don't Breathe in that you have really low expectations for it, but
yeah,
it's actually very creative and very well done and very, very, yeah, like you're, it's very stressful to watch. It is stressful.
Yes.
Yeah. No, absolutely great movie. And it's so funny because it's just, yeah, like you were saying, Patrick Stewart is just in it.
Yeah.
Like, oh, there's Patrick Stewart.
Right.
Which I kind of appreciated. I thought that was fun.
Hello.
All right, well, I'll wrap up my list then, at least. This is a movie that came out in 2012, so right at the beginning of our 5-year mark here, and that is Cabin in the Woods.
The lambs have passed through the gate. They are come to the killing floor.
Let's get this party started!
I seriously believe something weird is going on.
What is that thing?
We have to stay together. This isn't right. We should split up.
Yeah, good idea.
Really?
We gotta get out of here.
Somebody sent those things here to get us.
You're missing the point. They want to see us punished.
Cabin in the Woods, y'all. Cabin in the Woods. I think this movie is so good. And I think this movie still stands apart in this scary movie genre 5 years later. Like, there has not been a movie quite like this before or after. And it's just, oh my gosh, it's just so good. So the premise of Cabin in the Woods is there, I think there's five of them. There's like five friends.
Yeah, I think so.
Who are very much like the classic horror movie characters. There's like the jock and the quote unquote hot girl and the nerdy girl and the stoner and like the bookish guy. And so, but as this movie progresses, what you realize is that this movie is totally a play on itself, and it's this huge tongue-in-cheek movie about scary movies. And I just think it's so smart and it's funny. And I just think that they do such a good job of creating a spoof of horror movies while still making a scary movie. Like, this movie is still scary in some parts. It's not, this is not the Scary Movie franchise, which is just stupid and not scary. This is, you watch this movie and you feel kind of stressed because there's some scary parts. And, but I just think that they did such a good job with this movie. And well, how this, I, there's something in my notes that I want to mention, but if you haven't seen it, I don't want to spoil it for you, but there's an actress in it who we all know and love, but she doesn't come in till the very end. And it's just kind of brings the whole thing together of like, this movie is just ridiculous. Of course she's here. This is awesome. So yes. Yeah, I think that Cabin in the Woods is kind of a must-see movie for people who are really into scary movies, because people who are into scary movies will get such an enjoyment out of watching a movie that is making fun of itself and other scary movies in a way that really, really paid off. Like, they, I just think they did a great job.
Yeah, definitely. This is one of those movies I need to rewatch, because I remember when I watched it, I was like, this is really bad. And then somebody was like, no, it's supposed to be bad. Like, that's why it's so good. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh my gosh, that is so over my head and I'm an idiot. And I don't know how I didn't pick up on it, but I definitely need to give it a rewatch now because it's been a really long time. But I do think you're right. Like, in terms of like taking these tropes and making a movie on that, I think the only other movie to do that was Scream. And Scream was like super revolutionary in terms of, you know, making fun of the cliches that we see in horror films.
Yes.
But I think that Cabin in the Woods kind of takes that idea and modernizes it a lot and plays upon a lot more of like the characters that we see in almost every movie now. And so I really enjoy it for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. What were you going to say about the monster?
Oh, just that they, like, with the tropes of the characters, they also play off every classic monster ever in, like, any horror movie.
Yes.
And there's this incredible scene where all the monsters are actually let loose. And it is so satisfying. There's, like, so much blood, which always gets me. There's just, like, blood everywhere. But no, it's an incredible movie, and I've probably seen this movie like 20 times just because I'm so fascinated by it, and I just think it's great. So that wraps up my list for movies. So Hannah, finish us off.
Okay. Yes, gladly. So this film, my probably, like, aside from It, I would have to say my favorite movie that I've seen this year, and it's not technically from 2017 because it came out in 2016, but if I'm talking about like films I watched this year for the first time, this is very high up for me. This movie is called Raw. Directed by a woman named Julia Ducanau, and I don't know if I'm saying that right because she's French, and it's probably like way fancier when she says it. She's probably like, my name is Juliette Dacanau, and it like sounds really cool, but I can't say it like that, so sorry. It's her directorial debut. So this is the first movie she made, and it has absolutely killed it in terms of like indie festivals, and like people are just finally picking up traction on this film, and it is on Netflix. So if you have not seen it, go see it right now. The premise of this film, and I should say as well, like, it's all in French. It's a French film, but the subtitles don't really bother me. Sometimes they do, but this movie, I had no problem with it. The premise of this film is a girl is going to veterinary school, and there is this hazing ritual that happens at the school. Her older sister is an upperclassman. And so in the early scene of the film, she's forced to eat, like, and I can't remember what it is, but it's some sort of animal meat. And she's a vegetarian. So she's like, no, I'm not going to eat that. It'll make me sick. And her sister's like, kind of egging her on, like, don't embarrass me. Come on. Like, all my friends are around here. Like, don't be that person. So she eats this thing. And suddenly she develops this taste for flesh. And the way that they show that is so gross. And it doesn't hide much. But something I love about this movie is, again, like we discussed, like, I don't find gory movies or slasher movies that shocking. I'm just like, it doesn't bother me. I'm not one to like hide behind my eyes or like close my eyes when a scary scene is there. I just kind of like deal with everything. Mm-hmm. But this movie made me cringe in like the best possible way, because there are things that are shown in this movie in relation to flesh and skin that just really makes me like, it like irks me, but it's in a, you know, it's trying to do that. And so it does it really well. The acting is great. And there are just a couple scenes that are super gruesome, and the movie builds really well. And I will say too, like, Tim actually kind of sat next to me and was like, I'll probably hate this, but I'm going to watch it. And by the end of it, he was like, that was actually really good. So it is like an artsy fartsy kind of film, and it's a low budget movie, but it is so rad. Like, it is so great to watch. And it's just one of the, I've never seen anything like it. So I really liked it. Definitely give it a shot if you haven't. It is very visual. So, you know, if you are like a cringy person and you can't stand it, it may not be like the best movie for you, but try, because it is worth your while.
So I haven't seen this because I am afraid to watch it. But while you were talking about it, I was looking up the photos just on IMDb mm-hmm. of it. And even just the photos are like super gnarly.
Yeah. Yeah. There's some pretty like intense stuff in there.
Yeah.
It's pretty crazy.
I feel like I should watch it, but I'm afraid. I am. I'm afraid.
Yeah. Well, it jacked me up for a couple days. I was like, dang, that was bananas. But it's bananas. A good watch. And I mean, if that's her first movie, I'm like, okay, Julia Dacanau, what else can you do?
Julia? Yeah, no kidding. Julia Dacanau. That's so cool.
Do you want to share some of your honorable mentions? Because I know we have a lot of the same ones.
I do. Yeah. Having to pick just four for the last 5 years was kind of hard. So,
right.
Just got to give a shout out to The Witch or right. The Vivitch, whatever.
The Vivitch.
The Vivitch. Split by M. Night Shyamalan, which was surprisingly good. Goodnight Mommy, horrifying foreign film. It Comes at Night, starring Joel Edgerton, which mm-hmm. also is a movie that leaves so much up to your imagination, which mm-hmm. is so cool. Annabelle Creation. What?
Yeah.
What? Came out of nowhere. Left field. I was like, wow, this is like weirdly good. Like, right. I did not expect that. And then Honeymoon, which stars Rose, oh my gosh, I'm going to not get her name right, Rose Leslie, who used to be in Game of Thrones.
Ooh.
That is.
I've never heard of this.
Oh my gosh, totally under the radar, super good horror movie, also leaves a ton of stuff up to your imagination. Ooh. It's a hard watch. There's some hard scenes, but it is really good.
Okay, I'm into that. I will totally watch that. Yeah, The Witch, definitely. I love that movie, but I didn't put it because you and I have talked about it so much that I feel like everyone knows we love it. It follows, obviously, you mentioned The Babadook. It, of course. Train to Busan, which is a movie that came out last year that I think it's a Korean film, and it's a Korean zombie movie, and I went into it thinking, like, I'm going to watch the first 10 minutes and it'll probably suck and I'll turn it off. And it was really good. Like, I was really into it.
I've heard that. I've heard that this is a movie that people should watch.
I really enjoyed it. And, like, I'm kind of hit and miss with zombie movies, but this one I really dug. Like, it was a lot of fun. Get Out was great, but I don't know if I classify it as a horror movie, so I didn't put that one in there. Good Night, Mommy, which we both put on our honorable mentions, which is an amazing film.
Mm-hmm.
Sinister, which creeped the crap out of me, is horrifying.
Yeah, you really don't like that movie.
It's so scary. And Gerald's Game, which is a new film. It's an adaptation from Stephen King, again, because we can't get enough of him. And it is a psychological film. But I will say, like, if you don't like sexual abuse, like, this may not be a good film to watch because it is very intense with that. But it is a really good movie. So I don't know if I'd ever watch it again. But it was really, really interesting. And so that's my list of honorable mensch.
Yeah. If you guys have a movie that we missed or a movie that you guys just really want to, like, rave about that came out in the last 5 years, you can tweet at us. We would love to know. We always want to know those things because we want to talk to you guys about it.
Yes. And we want to watch more movies that we haven't heard of before. So definitely tweet at us at Film Rush Show. And of course, subscribe and leave us a review if this was something you liked, because that helps us and it helps other people find us. And visit our merch shop, of course, filmrushshow.threadless.com, and go support Victims of Las Vegas. And yeah, you guys, that's all I have to say. You got anything else?
No, I will point out, as far as the reviews, we got our first 2-star review, you guys, which...
Yeah, we did!
Might be disappointing to other people, but to us, that means we're like a legit podcast that people
we've
are like,
made it.
I don't think so.
Yeah, somebody was like, 2 stars. But they didn't even leave us any like criticism, which I'm super sad about. I wish they were like boring or something.
Yeah, I wanted to know. They'd probably be like, these girls don't even drink coffee. What are they even talking about? You know, I feel like that's people's biggest criticism of us.
It definitely is one of the biggest, for sure.
I'm sorry, you guys.
Just not really on the show, though.
No, we totally do. We drink coffee. We're just always recording late at night. So we're not in real time drinking coffee. But maybe we watch The Exorcist. Well, no, I'll probably need to have, like, alcohol to watch that movie.
Yeah, we'll definitely drink wine and watch The Exorcist. I need wine to get through that.
All right. Well, you guys, thanks for joining us for this special spooky Halloween edition of Film Rose. And until next time, happy roasting!
Happy roasting! Send us money!
What?
I don't know.
It's worth a shot. Bye!